ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद गीता चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 7 एंड टेक्स्ट 8। प्लीज रिपीट। सर्वभूतानि कौन्तेय प्रकृतिं यान्ति मामिकां कल्पक्षय पुनस्तानि कल्प आदौ विसृजाम्यहम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। जय श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ सन ऑफ कुंती, एट द एंड ऑफ मिलेनियम ऑल मेटीरियल मैनिफेस्टेशंस एंटर इनटू माय नेचर एंड एट द बिगिनिंग ऑफ अनदर मिलेनियम बाय माय पोटेंसी आई क्रिएट देम अगेन। परपोर्ट। द क्रिएशन, मेंटेनेंस एंड एनहाइलिएशन ऑफ दिस मेटीरियल कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन are completely dependent on the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. At the end of millennium means at the death of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years and his one day is calculated at, how do you say that, 4.3 billion of our earth years. His night is of the same duration. His month consists of 30 such days and nights, and his year of 12 months. After 100 such years when Brahma dies, the devastation or annihilation takes place. This means that the energy manifested by the Supreme Lord is again wound up in himself. Then again, when there is a need to manifest the cosmic world, it is done by his will, Bahusyam. Although I am one, I shall become many. This is the Vedic aphorism, Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. He expands himself in this material energy, and the whole cosmic manifestation again takes place. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which cannot be understood so easily. Just like sometimes something is written in some other language, it needs to be decoded. Somebody has to put it so that we can understand. But spiritual knowledge is not so simple as just simply some decoding of a language or some translation. It is very confidential and it can only be understood by somebody in a proper state of consciousness. So therefore nobody just needs, it just does not require translation of language. It just does not require a decoding, it requires a transformation of the heart. Only when the heart is transformed, then only one can understand this deep, confidential meanings of Bhagavad Gita. So as it is said, the most confidential knowledge, so this is hidden in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, in the center of Bhagavad Gita, this 9th chapter, which talks about the science of devotional service. But right at the onset of chapter 9, it is explained that this chapter or this knowledge cannot be understood by any ordinary person. The qualification set up for this knowledge to be revealed or to be digested or to be assimilated is non-enviousness. One should take out all enviousness and one should become a devotee of the Lord. So only somebody who is favorably disposed in the mood of devotion to the Supreme Lord can access to this mysterious or confidential aspects of this knowledge, the most confidential knowledge. And after setting out the qualification as non-enviousness and faithfulness, presence of complete faith, only with these two qualifications one can enter into the confidential mysteries of this subject matter. And after setting that and glorifying the whole chapter, Lord Krishna we are discussing since yesterday, today and tomorrow we will be discussing seven verses, which talks about Lord Krishna's relationship with this material world, with this material energy. People often wonder, after seeing the disturbances of this material world, is God still living somewhere? And if God is living, does he have some interest with the people of this world? Or has he forgotten? He's too busy enjoying with his devotees in the spiritual world, playing his flute. Has he forgotten what is happening in this material world? Or if he remembers, does he have enough power to help us? Maybe he has lost his power. Material world has gone out of his control. It has become so big, so this means might be he has lost his power. So people often wonder, first of all, is God there still living? I cannot see anybody who is controlling. Things happen to be going out of control in this world. Too much mismanagement, too many mishappenings, too many accidents, too many problems. So it seems the problem has gone out of, this world has gone out of control. Or maybe God has lost interest. He is not interested. He is too busy in his enjoyment. Not busy, he is too enjoying, too much relishing his enjoyment. That he doesn't want care for these things. Or he has lost control. Things have gone beyond this control. But these seven verses very nicely clarify these doubts. First of all, it very much establishes that just because you cannot see God or somebody controlling this world, that doesn't mean that there is no one controlling. Right? That doesn't mean. The very first verse in this series of seven verses, that is fourth verse of this chapter, 9.4. Says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktam murtina. He says, just like the owner of a big enterprise, or the king of a government, just like king of a government is always in control of what is happening in different areas of the government. But at the same time, you do not see king sitting in every department and taking control. The whole department, all the government, all the institution is working just by his energies, by people whom he has empowered. He personally is not coming and seen there. So, maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. So, Lord is telling that I am pervading the whole creation in my unmanifested form. Unmanifested form. You cannot see me. Just like a king is controlling the whole government, you cannot see the king. King is sitting in his palace and enjoying with his family. But still he has his control. And avyakta murtina, in my unmanifested form, means you can't see, you can't perceive. It needs eyes of devotion to perceive that form. Avyakta murtina. So after establishing, do not think, if you can't see me, I am not existing. Yes, just like king is controlling the government, I am also in control of the whole creation. He very much answers that question. Yes, I am there. Just like a king is controlling the whole government, you can't see king everywhere. He is sitting in his palace. Similarly, God is there in spiritual world, but he is controlling. Right? So two things this makes very clear. First thing is, God is very much in control. But at the same time, God is aloof. He is enjoying in his palace. Right? God is very much in control. Everything is under his control. Not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first thing one should understand very clearly and very thoroughly with the help of scriptures, that any happening in this material world is very much by the influence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. God himself, Supreme Personality Krishna, is personally the cause of all causes. He is the cause of all material manifestations. Anything happening in this material world, his unseen hand is there. One should understand this very clearly. Nothing is happening without his will. So these seven verses will make it very clear that first thing is God's will is always all pervading. Nothing is free. Not only the blade of grass, but even the sun, moon, the big planets, they are moving in the orbits only because of the will of the Lord. Brahmaji, the creator of this world, is praying. Yachak Suresh Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja. The sun, yasya gaya brahmati sambhita kala chakro, govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji is worshipping the Supreme Lord Govinda and saying that the sun, the supreme sun, the brilliant sun, the effulgent sun, which is with all its blazing energy, is there right in the position and is able to give so much energy only because of the energy given by the Supreme Lord Krishna. Only by the power, only by the order of Supreme Lord Krishna. So therefore, from smallest thing, a blade of grass, to the biggest manifestation, sun, moon or different planets, does not move without the hand of Krishna, without the control. So his will is all pervading. One should understand this fact very thoroughly. Nothing is beyond the control of Supreme Lord Krishna. Okay, after establishing that, he says, Nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. And then in the further coming verses, he establishes yogam aishwaram. He says, but just look at my inconceivable potency. Now you can't conceive this, right? If a person is the owner of a big enterprise, everything is under his control, it appears that he must be a busy person, isn't it? We see something on television, somebody controlling a big area, he has like four mobiles in his hand, few landlines, he's holding one phone, trying to control everything going out of his situation, and he's sometimes getting angry and frustrated because things are not under his control. But Lord's inconceivable potency is that although everything is happening by His will, still He is aloof. He is not affected or He is not involved personally into that. So first thing is we understood was His will is all pervading, and second thing is He is aloof. He is aloof. He is enjoying. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Gopal ji ki jai. Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagwan ki jai. So He is aloof. That is His inconceivable potency. And these two factors, that His will is all-pervading and second thing is He is aloof, is discussed in terms of maintenance, creation and destruction. Any activity you take in this material world, creation, destruction or maintenance. His will is there, everything is under His control, at the same time He is aloof. So these current two verses which we are discussing, 9.7 and 9.8, it says, in terms of creation and destruction, His will is supreme, but at the same time He is aloof. Everything is happening by His energies. So I'll just read a section of the next verse and then we discuss more on that. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visri jami puna puna bhuta gramam imam krishnam avasham prakriter vashat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will it is annihilated again and again. So visri jami puna puna, automatically manifested again and again. Under His will, the whole creation is working and automatically it is happening. It is just the result of the past deeds of the living entities. Depending on your past karma, you get a certain reaction and a new body is created. So the whole machine is set up in this world. People are just facing the results of their own karma. And automatically the machine is working. That's all. And He is aloof in the spiritual world. Right? So automatically the machine is working. Visri jami puna puna bhuta gramam avasham. Automatically. Avasham. Prakriter vashat. He doesn't need to be personally controlling. His energies are controlling. So that is the inconceivable potency. You cannot conceive how it is happening. Such a big, huge creation. If you come to this temple and so many things are being organized, you can see definitely there is a management system working. Right? Electricity is working, fans are working, darshan is opening at right time, closed at right time, aarti is taking place, so many prasadam is being distributed there. So we know there is a management, kitchen is there, people are directly involved, they are continuously looking at the watch, this time, this should happen, this time, direct involvement is there. So one cannot conceive of a situation like this. But yes, Lord is inconceivable. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, so that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, when He is doing His childhood pastimes, in various incarnations, you see, so many incarnations He has, so many avatars He comes. When He comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, around 500 years back, He is performing so many wonderful pastimes. At His house, as a small child, as is called Nimai, the baby Nimai, He is making so many wonderful pastimes. Now you see, after hearing this narration, that how He is the creation, He is the maintainer, He is the destroyer, everything is under His will, but He is aloof. Such a person who is not controlling some small building like this, controlling the whole creation, the whole destruction of the entire, not one universe, many, many universes, and under Him the whole maintenance is taking place, that Supreme Lord comes as a small child, and is playing in the courtyard of his mother and father. Now just imagine, who is this personality? That personality is playing in the house of mother and father. In the courtyard. in some ordinary village of Bengal, on this earth planet. And he's playing and it appears that he's just doing his childhood pastimes. He can hardly walk, he's crawling in the courtyard. That Supreme Lord who creates, who maintains, who annihilates, he's crawling and trying to walk and performing his beautiful pastimes. So we see how he is aloof. Although everything is taking place, but he is aloof. He is just enjoying for the pleasure of his mother and his father. His father, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they are just seeing him in his beautiful form as when he descends as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his baby form. He is just beginning to crawl. And they are not aware that he is the Supreme Personality, he is the creator, he is the annihilator, he is the maintainer. They are just seeing him in a small child baby form. And here, that Supreme Lord who lies down on Anant Shesh doing wonderful creation, that Anant Shesh comes as a small snake playing in the courtyard of the village. And he is playing like a snake, you know. Can you imagine a small baby just started crawling? He can hardly walk and a snake comes there in the courtyard. Just imagine. Just imagine there is a snake in the courtyard right there. And you have a small baby, just crawls there. What will happen to the mother and father? What will happen? They are not thinking of. Here the Supreme Lord who is Rasaraj, who is the source of all rasas, who gives pleasure. In one act he gives pleasure to so many living entities. See, Supreme Lord is always enjoying. He is just having his pleasure. He is not involved. That is what is written here. Everything is under his will, but he is aloof. He is enjoying. And he is giving pleasure to his devotees. So there, the snake comes. Can you imagine a big snake comes in the... And the mother and father, so much in anxiety. Nimai runs. He knows that who is this snake. He knows this snake is Anant Shesh. He has come to... play some games with me, have some nice pastimes. So Anant Shesh has come. And now snake body is very cool, very soft, isn't it? So, I don't know how many of us have experienced snake's body, but he comes and the baby Nimai thinks, oh, very nice, so let me go and play. And he sits and goes and takes his natural position, sits down on the lap of the snake, on the coils of the snake. So he is sitting on the soft, cooling body of the snake. The Nimai is sitting. And mother and father, just imagine all the ladies of the village, everybody is crying, screaming. Our child has gone in the coils of a snake. And they are crying and shouting and screaming, calling out for Garuda, please help. Calling out the names of the Lord, so many different names, chanting so many mantras, please help, our child has gone on the lap of the, on the coils of the snake, calling out for the help from Garuda. And here, the Nimai, Supreme Lord in his baby form is enjoying. He is enjoying seeing the increasing love of his parents, how their love is increasing, in ecstasy, increasing. Because he is creating so many... Rasa is simultaneously one activity. He is enjoying. And he is giving pleasure to Anant Shesh also. And like that, he is enjoying in the courtyard. And sometimes he comes out, sometimes he again sits in the coils. He again comes out, he again sits in the coils. And Anant Shesh is relishing. Such a wonderful opportunity to have pastime with the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme... proprietor of the whole creation in his baby form, sitting on the coils of this snake. Finally, the snake realizes, I am giving too much anxiety to the parents. It's too much. I think I should just go away from here. So slowly he walks out. And as he's walking out, the Nimai is released. And the mother runs, father runs, immediately takes and starts chanting so many mantras for the protection. They forget he is the Lord. They are engaged in protection. Oh, please Lord, protect our child. What this inauspiciousness came today. But Nimai, he again plays pastimes. He again wants to run back to the snake. Again wants to go back in the coils of the snake. So mother is in so much anxiety. Father is in so much anxiety. And they are all like holding him with so much love, so much affection. So, like this is a small pastime. So Lord in his various incarnations, so many incarnations, he enjoys so many wonderful pastimes like this. Sometimes he becomes a child of the parents, sometimes a friend with the cowherd boys, sometimes he dances on the hoods of Kaliya. When he is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya and Vrindavan, what's happening there? A small boy, just few years old, dancing. How much anxiety the whole Vraj is, that who will protect this child? Who will protect this such a small baby? Everybody is fainting there, unconscious. So like that, and when Krishna, when he is in Vrindavan, he is playing his flute sometimes. And when he plays his flute, the whole Vrindavan gets attracted. Everybody in Vrindavan. Everybody. Not only all the gopas, gopis, all the cowherd boys, even all the cows, all the animals, all the peacocks, all the deers, everybody comes there. All the peacocks of Vrindavan come there, surround him. And starts inviting him, "Oh Krishna, please come and dance with us. Please." So attracted by the flute of Krishna. So Krishna is enjoying his spiritual world. He is having such wonderful pastimes. And at the same time, everything in material world is happening by his will. So somebody may wonder, this is the answer to first question, that okay, God is in control, he is enjoying. But the second question, is God really concerned with us? Does he have some concern with us? Is he really concerned what's happening in our life? He is playing flute and he is giving enjoyment to peacocks, deers and this. And what is happening to us? We are suffering here. So he says, avasham prakritir vashat. What can I do? You decided by your own independence to enter the material world. It was your own past. It was your own karma. By your karma, you are just going into this cycle. But he doesn't keep quiet there. He doesn't keep sitting in the spiritual world enjoying. He knows that so many of his children have deviated away from the path. They should all come and back and join me in my enjoyment. Why they should remain in this automatic machine, you know, which is just churning them in this ocean of birth and death. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Why? Get out of the cycle of birth and death. So he makes so many plans. So many wonderful plans. So he is Rasaraj. He is the source of all rasas. He is the fountainhead of all rasas, all the tastes, all the relationships. One Supreme Personality, accorded by his energies, performs so many wonderful activities. When he comes to this world, he comes to perform pastimes in Vrindavan. It is not just because he wants to perform pastimes. That he can anyway do. He is doing in the spiritual world. Why he has to come on this planet to perform his pastimes? So do not think that, yes, God is enjoying and we are suffering. What is this? God has left us alone. If a son or a child of a parent has deviated away, has run away from home, parents are always thinking, we wish he could come back. There always one thought is, we wish he could come back. Although he has entered this cycle, avasham prakritir vashad, automatically caught up in this cycle by the result of his karma, God is always planning. Krishna is always planning how to get them out. So therefore, when he performs wonderful pastimes in Vraj, Vrindavan or any incarnation comes on this universe, not that he wants to perform pastimes and need some space. He can do his spiritual world also. He's anyway doing that in spiritual world. He's very happy there. He's blissful. Tomorrow's verse, it will be discussed. He is neutral. He is enjoying there. But at the same time, he is concerned. So therefore, he comes time to time, yada yada hi dharmasya. He comes time to time and performs wonderful pastimes, the same pastimes of spiritual world. He comes and performs on this, in this universe, on this planet, right in this Bharat Varsha. When he comes again and again, he performs pastimes. So these verses are showing us that under his will everything, but still he is aloof and he wants us also to come out of this material world. So therefore he performs wonderful pastimes. Why? So that to show us that yes, I am enjoying in my own world, spiritual world, and I am self-satisfied. I do not need anyone for my enjoyment. But if you want to enjoy, the only way is you can join me. That's all. That is the only way. And therefore, by His causeless mercy, by His immense causeless mercy, He comes to attract the conditioned souls to the enjoyment of this, to the rasas of spiritual world, to the attractions of spiritual world, to the pastimes of spiritual world, how life in spiritual world is all about. So He can anyway perform. Yes, He is aloof, but at the same time He is concerned. He is concerned. He comes here to demonstrate the pastimes of how to perform, how to attract the conditioned souls to the pastimes of spiritual world. And not only He comes, He brings so many of His associates. He comes, He brings so many of associates, and time to time He keeps sending so many acharyas, so many of His representatives. Just imagine, we are talking of this verses, that how under His will, everybody is being churned in this cycle of birth and death. Everybody is suffering here. Right? So what will happen if nobody is there? And the conditioned souls are so much bound in this, that for someone to tell him the importance of Bhagavad Gita, it takes so much energy. So much energy. Somebody was describing that Krishna comes, His representative comes, and they come to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita, that here you are caught up in this cycle of birth and death, come on, come to spiritual world and enjoy the pastime there. But nobody is interested. Who has time? Nobody has time. Somebody was describing, this preaching is a very difficult task. Just like a doctor sometimes has to give a medicine. Now giving a medicine to a human being, adult, is simple, right? To a child, if you have to give injection, very difficult. Now forget about human being, forget about child. If you have to feed a horse, how difficult it is. If you have to feed a medicine to a horse, doctor has to give medicine. Now horse will not understand this is medicine. So how four people standing in four different corners, they will hold open his jaws, right? As a khichke, they will open his jaws. And then the doctor will put the medicine right inside the throat. So telling someone to take to Krishna consciousness in this world is like that. So difficult. Telling someone, okay, take to Krishna consciousness. Take to the message of Bhagavad Gita. It is like so much pain has to be done. So one cannot say that, oh, Krishna is aloof. Krishna is not aloof. Just like a doctor when he has to feed medicine. Jai Zarina Sadhanat Maharaj ki jai. Just like a doctor has to give medicine to the horse. Is it easy job? No, he has to open with all his force. Similarly, we can't say Krishna is aloof means he is enjoying. Yes, he is enjoying, but he wants us to join his enjoyment. And that's why he takes so much trouble. Not only he comes, all his representatives comes. And when his representatives comes, is it an easy job to preach? How much endeavor they take? You see, this is Kali Yuga now. How difficult preaching in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, when Prahlad Maharaj was preaching, Prahlad Maharaj was preaching there. And he is preaching to whom? To his own father, Hiranyakashipu, the biggest of the demons. So here, a small child of Satya Yuga is preaching to his own father. Nobody can even imagine, even now, nobody generally sees so commonly that a father will kill his own son. It's not so common. Yeah, now it's happening, but gradually. But it's very unheard of. What to talk of Satya Yuga? Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill his own son just because he is preaching glories of Vishnu, glories of Krishna, glories of devotional service. So difficult it is to preach. Such deep-rooted is the envy. Such deep-rooted is the hatred against the Vishnu and Vaishnavas. Therefore, the first quality said is non-enviousness. Otherwise, one cannot digest this. If one is envy, one will think, oh, why? Why God is supreme? Why He is enjoying? Why I am not enjoying? He cannot digest. So Prahlad Maharaj trying to preach to his own father, and father wants to kill, and that is Satya Yuga. If in Satya Yuga a father can kill his own son just because he is glorifying Vishnu and Vaishnavas, What to talk of Kali Yuga? Satya Yuga has passed, Treta Yuga has passed, Dwapar Yuga has passed, Kali Yuga has passed. What to talk of Kali Yuga? In Kali Yuga, how difficult it is to preach. Where almost everybody we talk to is against Vishnu, against Vaishnavas, against the preaching the glories of Gita and Bhagavat. How difficult it is to preach. But still, is it that Krishna has closed? Okay, this is Kali Yuga. Satyuga, I tried. It was very bad experience. Hiranyakashipu was there. So Kali Yuga, it's closed the chapter. Very difficult. No preaching done. No, Kali Yuga, preaching is more powerful. Right? When attack is more powerful, more powerful. When infection, a doctor has to treat an infection. The more powerful the infection comes, the more powerful the antibiotic comes. Right? More powerful the medicine comes. Similarly, here also, Kali Yuga, power is more, preaching is more powerful. The same Supreme Lord comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The same Supreme Lord comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Preaching is more powerful. He sends so many of his acharyas, so many of his representatives. Somebody may, people say, oh, bhakti is such an easy path. Bhakti means like walking on a soft bed of roses. It is so easy, so soft. Oh, you people are doing bhakti. It is simply chanting, dancing. So simple. Enjoy nice prasadam. Yes, bhakti is simple. But at the same time, when somebody becomes devotee, it may not be that simple. So many wonderful devotees of Lord, when they come to this world, they do not like walking on the soft bed of roses. On behalf of the Lord, they are ready to walk on the path of thorns. Full of thorns. If the path is full of thorns, who would like to walk? But we have seen in the past several centuries, so many acharyas came and they practically walked on the path of thorns. Another day I was discussing with some devotees, Sripad Ramanujacharya, when he came, what was his situation? He came to establish the Vaishnavism. In the whole of Bharatvarsha, to preach this philosophy of worshipping Vishnu and Vaishnavas, to serving Vaishnavas, so much pain he took. And what happened? He was preaching, glorify Vishnu, glorify Vaishnavas, devotional service to Vaishnavas is supreme. And where he was preaching? Right in Srirangam, in the town of Srirangam, where Lord Ranganath is being worshipped by the devotees there, right on the altar. And what was the response? Right on the altar, the priests of Ranganath, the priests of the temple, the smart brahmanas, those who apparently seem to be worshipping Lord Vishnu, they could not digest Ramanujacharya preaching the glories. They could not digest. Oh, how he is preaching the pure science of Bhagavad Gita. How he is acting such a pure representative of Krishna. Kill him. And what did they do? Right in his prasadam, in the rice which he wants to eat, they added poison. Once they are tempted, but the wives of the brahmanas, one of the wives told Ramanujacharya, do not eat, this is poison. He came, he was saved. Second time they killed by adding to Charanamrit. Can you imagine adding to Charanamrit? So difficult. So Lord is aloof, but just see how much plan he makes sending his representatives in this Kali Yuga when it is so difficult to preach. Added to Charanamrit, kill Ramanujacharya. Again by the mercy of Lord he was saved. One of his disciples was practically blinded just because he was preaching the glories. He was blinded. So much pains were taken by so many representatives in the past several centuries making this point that yes, although Lord is aloof, enjoying in the spiritual world, do not think that he has forgotten you. He is making so many wonderful plans. He himself comes and he sends so many of his acharyas who are ready to walk on the path of thorns. Just to make you understand, just to make all of us understand the importance of message of Supreme Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just for us to understand. Although they know Kali Yuga means, preaching to all of us means giving a horse a medicine. How much force will be required? How difficult it is to one person. But still these acharyas come. In what mood? Yes, they are enjoying. They were very much enjoying in spiritual world. They are happy with the Lord. But the point is, yes, they are happy with the Lord, but still they are ready to walk on the path of thorns. Why? Because you know the greatest pleasure, the greatest happiness, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest love one can offer to his beloved Lord. If somebody says, I love God, so what does he do for God? Yes, he takes the message of the God and goes out to each and every person and gives this message. He takes all the pains, he is ready to walk on the path of thorns just to preach this message. So because they know that this is the greatest pleasure, this is the greatest love, this is the greatest satisfaction, this is the greatest offering one can offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he takes this message and takes responsibility. What can he do in this Kali Yuga? Very difficult. Age of quarrel and hypocrisy. But still he tries his best. He goes out and tries his best. He says in this millions of people, even if one person, he tries to shout so loudly, he tries to make such a loud noise, that even if it penetrates the ears of one person, his life will be successful. So we therefore understand that yes, everything is under the will of the Lord. He is not aloof. Although he is aloof, he is still concerned with the sufferings of the conditioned souls. So our first question was, does Lord exist? Yes, he very much exists. His will is very much prominent everywhere. Second thing is, does he take interest? Yes, he very much takes interest. And what was the third question? Has he lost control? If he takes interest and everywhere... Why is he not helping us? So then here he is established. He says, Prakritim Swam Avashtabhya Visri Jami Puna Puna. What can I do? It is you only who have decided to stay here. It is your own free will. It is your own independence, Lord is pointing out to us. You have decided to enter into this cycle. You have decided to enter into this ocean of birth and death. What can I do? I am taking all the steps, coming again and again, sending my representatives, yuga after yuga, a millennium after millennium, century after century. I am coming in different forms, in different, as my message, as Srimad Bhagavatam, I am present right there. So you can't say, oh Lord has left us alone, we are suffering. He has not left us alone. He is right there with both his hands. If you go see the altar, Gauranitya is standing with both the hands. Both the hands are raised. Right? Supreme Lord has come in the deity form in all the temples. And most important, he has come in the form of his holy name. So Sri Gauranitya are standing with both their arms, inviting us to the Sankirtan party, to the Sri... To the Sankirtan party, the best congregational chanting of the holy names, which is the best means in this Kali Yuga. He's shouting, jeeva jago, Gaura Chanda bole, Kota Nidra jao maya, Pishachira kole, jeeva jago. Why don't you take it seriously? Jeeva jago, why you are still sleeping on the lap of which maya? Why you are still sleeping? Your own free will. You decided, I am still ready to welcome you, both hands raised. Why don't you take shelter? In Kali Yuga there is no other shelter. It is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. That's all. No other shelter, no other shelter, and no other shelter. Kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gati ranyatha. Aur koi gati nahi hai. To kya gati hai? Hare naam, hare naam, hare naam eva kevalam. Only holy name and holy name. So Gauranitya are inviting with both their hands raised to the congregational chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So therefore, yes, everything is under his will, not a blade of grass, not even the sun or the moon moves without his will. Creation, destruction, maintenance, every small event in your life, it is all under his will. But still he is aloof, he is inviting everyone to the spiritual world, to the enjoyment, to the bliss of spiritual world, which is aloof from the sufferings of material world. But for that, what is he demanding? You should be ready to transform yourself. You should be ready to surrender your free will. It is your own independence which you have misused. I am not the cause. You are suffering here. Nature of material world is suffering. That's all. Dukhalyam ashashvatam. It's up to you. If you want to come out, here is the process. They are standing there, right there, to invite everyone. Each person, every individual is invited. So thus, this beautiful section is nicely telling in text 4 to text 10. Well, how Lord's control is prominent over the whole material world. His will is prominent. And second thing is, but still he is aloof. He is enjoying the pleasures of the spiritual world, not directly involved. And he is not responsible for our being here. It is our own responsibility. So like that, we have two more verses, like three we covered yesterday, two today, and two more verses of the same theme. The inconceivable potency of the Lord in terms of creation and destruction. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki. Hare Krishna. Any one question anybody has? 1 minute, 2 minutes. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Kalyupa Sharinam Sankirtan ki, Jai.